Hi, this is Mike.
Hey, this is Dave.
And hey, this is Matt, and you're listening to the Empty Spiral podcast, the official podcast of the Lacuna Cult community. Do you know what? I'm so surprised I remembered those words. Really, yeah, it's been so long. I was like, what am I supposed to say at the beginning? Oh, yeah, that's it. Well, welcome, guys. I'm going to make very little to no excuses as to why it's been so damn long since the last time we recorded. I can come up with a number of excuses, but all of them sound really rubbish. So I'm just going to avoid everything and say, whatever, we gave you a respite. So now you've had a chance to catch up with 156 previous podcasts. We're now bringing you up to date with our 157th episode of the Empty Spiral podcast. And joined by Mike, of course. Mike, would you want to remind everybody in the internet world, ether, whatever we call it these days, the information superhighway is what we used to call it when I was a young lad. Remind people who you are and what you're doing.
My name is Mike. I live in just south of Manchester in the UK. And I obviously love Lacuna Cult. That's why I'm here. And I enjoy lots of travel, which is mainly what I do in my spare time. And that involves seeing Lacuna Cult as well. It's like travel.
So, I don't know about you, but that suddenly sounded like some kind of date thing, didn't it? Didn't it?
Not to yeah.
I enjoy long walks on the beach, margaritas. Yeah. And
candlelit dinners.
Candlelit dinners. I need to know, so just a specific question to you, because I know that you've been a number of shows that I haven't, especially recently. Mm-hmm. What are you up to now, number-wise? Just remind me.
I have a list. I'm up to 115.
You're totally going to... we'll come back to this, because I think... Are you going to go over my number?
Oh, no, sorry, I miscounted. I'm 110. I'll be up to 115.
All right, okay. All right, I've still got a little bit of slack before you reach me.
Yeah.
We're going to come on to the US tour, which I'm gutted about. Okay. And welcome, Dave. Mr. Jolie, tell us a little bit about yourself, sir.
About me. Well, how long have you got? Because if I get started, I might not stop.
I mean, I've got quite a lot of space on my hard drive, so I think we'll be fine.
Well, I'm Dave. Some of you might know me for liking Lego as much as Lacuna Coil on occasions, mixing the two together as well.
You have indeed.
I have been a fan since 2001, and I'm going to point that out as often as possible because it was before you picked them up.
It was.
I'm just going to rub that in a little bit.
Whatever. It kind of makes, technically, does that make you older than me? No, probably not. But I'm actually okay about that. There's only a small part of me that cries myself to sleep every night that there are people that have known this band longer than I do. But 2001's cool, though. That's like even before Coma Lines, you were an inner reverie chap.
Well, it's more Unleashed Memories.
Oh, is that 2002 or 2001 as well, isn't it?
2001,
yeah. Yeah, 2001. Okay.
So I've been, bubbling away in the background for quite many years now.
Bubbling away in the background. Did I ever ask you what your first show was? I don't know if I did. I probably did.
Yes, it was 2005. So I didn't get an opportunity to see.
I'm going to rub that in because
one of what London shows they used to do. Yeah, I know. This is where you sort of bounce back.
Bounce back. All right. So you might have got into them before me, but I saw them live before you.
Absolutely. And far, far more many times. I mean, Mike was just saying then, were you 110 shows so far? And this is where I need to get my coat and leave in shame.
That'd be
sick. Because my numbers are nothing like that.
What is
all.
It?
I think I'm
24. That's all right. So, I think that I think we are weird, right? 100 shows and we don't even do the lighting, you know, like if it's not like we're not even working it, you know.
We're not on the payroll.
Exactly. There are people that do 100 shows and they're like, yeah, I've lost count because I basically do the lighting and all that kind of stuff. And we're like, yeah, no, we don't do any of that, but we're just crazy people. I think that, and I might be wrong here, it's just kind of anecdotal evidence that people can be fans of a band their entire life and they consider themselves lucky if they've seen the band live half a dozen times, right?
So
20 times is a big number. It's a crazy number. So, yeah, 120 odd times or whatever it is, that just, it feels a bit silly at that point. I'm not going to lie. It was like, what am I doing?
Expensive as well.
Oh, my God. Yeah, don't even ask. Yeah, yeah. We don't talk about travel expenses.
And how many different countries? I mean, you've gone around the world as well.
Yeah. Mike's done more than I have. I know that for a fact.
I've done it 8 countries, I think.
Yeah, I've not done that. I've not really counted the countries. America, England, Italy, obviously. Switzerland.
No, I've not done that.
I don't think I've even seen them in France.
Germany.
I don't think I've seen them in Germany.
Have you thought about doing like bingo cards for countries so you can like stamp them out around the world? And
you know, you get those maps that you sort of rub off.
Yeah.
Well, I've actually got one of those for, you know, my wife and I got one recently, actually, from a friend. For places you've gone on holiday, I'm thinking of just kind of making it places I've seen Lacuna Coil and just sort of scrubbing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wouldn't be a very good map. I feel like the US and Italy will be scrubbed quite deep, as with the UK, but everything else would be not very much, I guess. So, but you've seen them in South America, haven't you?
No.
Oh, I thought you had.
No. I've always wanted to, but I can never get anyone to think to come. I'd love to see them on the Brazil tour coming up. But I've seen them in Malta. They've only played Malta once.
That's pretty cool. See them in Malta. Mm.
Yeah.
And you might. So, Dave, you stay in the UK, don't you? So you've seen them 20 times in the UK.
Yeah. Going back to what Mike was saying about his travel love. I'm almost the opposite. I'm quite a recluse as far as travel goes. So I stick to the UK pretty much. The Coma Live in Milan was the only one I've travelled to.
And I think that's fascinating, actually. And let's just sort of props you for that, because you said to me before you're not a fan of the travel. But I think it shows just how deep your love of the band is that you did get on a plane and go to Milan to see the Coma Live event. I mean, I know that wasn't
in the zone.
Yeah, that wasn't an easy journey. I know that for a fact. And I love and appreciate the fact that you were there for that. I think that made it really extra special. And, you know, Coma Live was a memorable weekend. For many, many reasons, not least of which, of course, was, you know, seeing the live show. But to have so many friends there that have come so far made it extra special. And, you know, and having you there, and I don't want to blow smoke up, you know, sorry, I won't say that, but you know what I mean. to have you there as well, knowing that you made the extra special effort to come or to go to Milan was cool. Would you do it again?
Absolutely. Drop of a hat, I'll do it again. It helps no end because of the other people there, or the Coiler community.
Yeah,
that's what made it easy, as far as I was concerned. I wouldn't have liked to have done it on my own.
No. Do you think now? Sorry, this is turning into an interview. I'm just interested. Yeah. Do you think it, having done that once, you know, would encourage you to do more shows, more tours, a little bit further afield, do you think?
It would, as long as I've got the network of other people to help.
Yeah, of course. Well, you have. We'll be there. I mean, Mike will definitely be there, and I'll try to get time off work. So, yeah. Wherever it there might be. You never know. There is this country used called the United Kingdom, and we are Lacuna Corps starved and have been for a while now. One can only hope that one day they look back at this country in the post-Brexit world. Sorry, it was how many minutes in before I mentioned the B word? And kind of go, hey, if we throw enough cash at enough bureaucrats, we might even be able to get into the country long enough to do a tour. Who knows?
It has been rather frustrating because obviously my involvement with the band and with the Coiler community generally has kind of increased dramatically over the last few years.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Frustratingly. Through the COVID years.
Yes.
Where everything kind of shut down. And it's interesting, really, how that worked, because a lot of the interaction I've had was because of the lockdown.
Mm.
So the online interaction really, really changed. And there was a lot more of it.
What, direct or as a part of a community, would you say?
The community involvement across the board. I think everyone was seeking that little island of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Found each other, and the friendships formed or strengthened certainly during that time. And without that lockdown, without that forced involvement virtually, then I don't think we'd be in the same position with the same kind of friendships in many in many respects.
No, I completely agree. I completely agree. I mean, I say, obviously, there's so many negative things about the COVID times, as I refer to it. So many things we could reflect on. Not that this is a historical podcast in any way, shape or form. Well, maybe one shape, which is the history of Lacuna Coil and Lacuna Coil fandom, I suppose. But there are so many good things that have come out of it as well. Whether it was the karaoke, which was another form of community that was built, whether it was Christina going to Twitch and the sort of snailing community that grew from that, whether it was an increased use of the social media to remain connected. I'm looking at Instagram, especially with stories. And I think it's now a very... It's ripened and flourished into a really strong online community, even more so than it was before, I think, which is great. And I think it's given people that otherwise didn't find it easy to connect with that online community, because there are many, and new avenues into it, if you see what I mean. And it's great. I think the community is very strong. It's I don't know what the word for, but it's not toxic, if you see what I mean. It's very easy for online communities to become toxic, and I don't see that at all with the Lacuna Coil community. At least if it's there, it's not something that I've witnessed, and I know that's amazing. So, no, I completely agree with you. I completely agree with you. And I guess what you're alluding to there, Dave, is that when they come back to the UK, then, I mean, hearing that you want to be more involved in that kind of UK tour type stuff.
I've always wanted to do the, well, stalking. Is that too strong?
Or whoa. I take offence to that. Yeah. Whoa, man, that's creepy. Stalking.
Oh, dear. No, following around for a full tour.
Yeah.
Doing multiple dates around the country. I've looked on in awe at people like yourselves who have done that and done that regularly. I've never really had the opportunity to do it. And I think now it would be comfortable. It'd be a lot easier for me, knowing so many people, all the meetups beforehand. You know, you can buy a ticket, just the one, for yourself in a strange city, and go along knowing that you'll bump into people you know.
Mm. Yeah, and I think, you know, we sort of car sharing and driving from place to place and you know, hanging out beforehand and then going back to the same hotel or whatever it is we're doing, you do get that kind of, you know, it is a comfort, it is a security, you don't feel isolated. And it's, I guess it's especially important if you're in a different country and you're really unfamiliar with the environment or even unfamiliar with the language, then having the comfort of being not being alone is great. But even traveling the UK is much more fun when you can jump in a car and, you know, fall asleep while Matt does the driving, right, Mike?
Yeah.
or whatever it might be. Anyway, Dave, you're joining us on the podcast now as a permanent member. So I don't know if you know this, but you now do. So you're locked in this room with us. So
right. This was never mentioned. Now have a copy of the contract, please.
Yeah, sure. I'll speak to my lawyers. Yeah.
I want my copy then.
Oh, for God's sake.
God, come on, Matt, get your crayons out.
Oh, yeah. I'll write in pencil. send it over to you. Anyway, so look, let's move on to something more Lacuna Coil related then. So we typically go for a bit of news here, and I've got a couple of points. So for those of you who have been living in a cave for a while, you'll know that Lacuna Coil are in the process of recording new material. I won't say for the first time since Black Anima, because of course they recorded Comalize XX in between years, as we call it, or the COVID times. And that was successfully way back in, what I say way back, it doesn't feel like that long ago, but feels long enough, which is what, 2022. But now they're starting on a wholly new album, a wholly new project. And my only real kind of interface with that is just the amount of teasing that's taking place, mostly by way of Mackie's stories in Instagram. What are your reflections on that, guys? Are you sort of seeing information coming out of their socials in that respect?
Information, no. Teasing, yes. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just the odd tickle, isn't it?
It feels like it, yeah. And that, you didn't make that sound creepy at all. But yeah, the odd tickle via social media. Yeah, I don't even have an idea of dates or anything. I need to reach out and maybe get an interview or something. But as I mentioned a few days ago to you guys offline, for the right reasons, you know, interviews at this period of the creative process of very much a case of, well, here's stuff I can maybe tell you off the record, but I can't. It literally is off the record. I can't, you know, you can't publish it or whatever. So we because of a variety of reasons, right, making sure that there's the right kind of information flow out prior to the release of new material. So we'll see what we can get. You never know, we might be able to get one of them on the podcast at some stage in the near future. They've got the Ignite the Fire tour, which is starting in May, 2nd of May. And it's like, was it a dozen, 10 dates or something like that?
Yeah.
That is. Now, you're going to some of them, aren't you, Mike?
Yeah, the first five starts in Delaware. Delaware, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina. So,
okay.
Bit of travel.
Not going to Daytona then, all the way down to Florida for a.
No, my wish was to carry on and do maybe not do Daytona, but swing over to Tennessee. Too long, because once you swing that way, it's 11 hours from North Carolina to Tennessee, and then even further to go west.
Yeah, we've done those kind of length of journeys, and they can be a lot of fun, but they're hard work, aren't they?
Yeah.
Salt Lake City to Denver springs to mind. The day that never ended. Yeah.
That's one thing else I love about the tales from the US tours is when it's the scale of them. Like you just said there, swing over, you know, 11, 12 hours. That's just swinging over. That's a half hour down the road.
It is, yeah. And I think, you know, Dave, I'd love you to be part of one of those, because they are really, those kind of road trips, you just don't get there in the UK, right? You know, you go for 11 hours in any direction and you're going to be in the sea, all right? or stuck in traffic in the UK at least, but you know, you just chew through the miles in the US, and it is weird going cutting through state to state to state to go such long distances. Really cool, don't get me wrong, but you get into it and you're kind of like, you're on a road, we're on the road again, and you're just off, you go in and go in and go in and go in and go in. Very, very different experience, I think. I love it, but it does take it out of you, doesn't it? Just kind of getting up at really early in the morning, jumping in the car and driving, and you finally get to the venue, you know, an hour before the show starts, at 12 hours later, because you've driven across two states. You know, that's it's an interest.
Tough love.
tough love, yeah. Well, I am jealous though, mate. This is why I was worried about these numbers creeping up on me. I'm like, oh my God, but you are going to overtake me, I'm sure of it. My ability to attend so many shows is definitely dropping off through other commitments and money and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You'll be sabotaging, like cutting up his passport or something soon, won't you? Just to make sure.
Yeah. Things like that. Well, I could never do that. It spends equal time in Italy at the moment, back and forth.
I'm not. I'm going again briefly for a weekend and then back and then over for 11 days before the US.
Are you on first name terms with any of the flight attendants these days? I mean, presumably they
I switch around. It's usually easy to get.
You know, have your own seat. I assume that they're just like a little seat. They've just got your name engraved into it, like a little plaque saying this is Mike's seat.
And my own lounge area.
Yeah exactly. Right, anyway, so the tours are coming up. And I'm sure we're going to see a few more over the summer, although I do wonder how much of their time is going to be invested in album prep rather than, say, the summer festivals. Because I might be wrong here, but I can just check. But I don't think they've got any festivals coming up, have they, this year?
Yeah, one, I think.
Is it just one?
Bulgaria?
Romania. Is that right? Rockstar Extreme Fest in Romania? At the end of July is the one that I have. But they might have released more and just not told me. So they've got stuff going on. They're dividing their time between touring the US again and prepping for the new album. So obviously exciting times ahead. And let's hope, fingers crossed all round, that they find a way to get into the bastion that is the UK and give us a chance to see them in more locally without having to get on flights. That'd be amazing. Right, well, I think we better come on to, after so long. Do anybody remember this album? It's called Comalize XX. It came out a couple of years ago, and we're actually going to now review the third song on the album, which is called Daylight Dancer XX. And just as a bit of a reminder, we first reviewed Daylight Dancer on, I think it was episode 40, I want to say. I might be wrong. I reserve the right to be wrong. Episode 40, I think, of the Empty Spiral podcast. And that was way back. Well, it was released on the 12th of October, 2013. So 11 years ago, we reviewed this. Wow.
11 years. I was still at school.
You were in diapers or nappies, as we call them in the UK. You young whippersnapper. I feel like we should say we were all in school at that point, but we really, really weren't. Yeah, a long time ago. And at the time, Veronica joined us from the US. Russ was with us, and it got a pretty good rating as a song. For you, Mike, it was you talked about the adrenaline rush in the shows, and you gave it a 10 out of 10. Russ gave it a 9 out of 10. Veronica gave it a 10 out of 10, loving the way it was different from any of the other songs on Comalize. And I gave it a 9.5 out of 10 and basically copped out because I always give people shit when they give half measures, right? So... that's never going to change. So obviously I got the shit then from you guys, from Russ and yourself. But today we're going to give our thoughts on Comalize XX from... Today we're going to give our thoughts on Daylight Dancer XX from Comalize XX. Possibly reflect on how it's different, what we like about it, what we don't like about it. Dave, before we go any further... can you give me your reflections on Daylight Dancer, the original one? Just so we got a kind of a foundation of what you think of the original song.
Okay, the original version, if I had to give it the out of 10 score, I would give it 9.25.
Oh, for God's sake.
I'm kidding. No, the original, I love. It's actually one of my favourite, all-time favourite Lacuna Call songs. Mm-hmm. It was... possibly the song that helped me transition from like a regular fan to a diehard. Around about 2005, which is when I first saw them live.
Yeah.
So the Comalize album had been doing the business for a while, and the band had gained popularity, you know, on a fairly steep curve from the release of that, and 2005 was getting towards the end of the Comalize cycle.
Yeah,
so all the songs were really well known. Heaven's a Lion Swamped, they'd become like the calling cards, so they were like the big anthems that built the career, I would say. But for me, Daylight Dancer, it was as anthemic as those two singles, but there was... it was a bit more of a subtle power to it, so it had a greater impact. If I remember rightly, I'm sure on the Comalize tours, wasn't it used? Was it the closing song of the main set or the encore? Yeah.
It was the closing song of, I think, even the encore, wasn't it? Yeah, because this was before we kind of we got some of the classic closers that we would get from Carmico. So yeah, it was almost certainly in the early days when we were seeing Lacuna Call live. Daylight Dancer was always the closing.
Yeah, so even back then, it was recognised, even from the band, it was recognised as a big song, a key song, but never released as a single. So could it have been the third single? Would be an interesting what if.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, that was the one that stuck out on the whole album, that really hooked me in. It was my song. It was my favourite anthem. So it's kind of precious.
Yeah, and that's really, really good to hear, because I think it's certainly by us when we first reviewed it, it was very much universally loved. And the more I reflect on it, it does feel like the less popular third child of the album, doesn't it? You know, like everybody thinks of, as you say, Heaven's a Lion Swamped, and then coming in third as a both chronologically on the album, and I think in terms of familiarity, you do have Daylight Dancer, and it was a staple as for on the set list for a very long time. So it does have an appeal. I think it really does. And in some respects, I like it more because it's not been played so much. You know, it does come and go. So, yeah. Okay. So it's on a bit of a high pedestal then for you, the original. You know, it means a lot to you as a song. Okay. It'd be interesting to see your reflections on the XX version. Do you want to start on that? Do you want to give us your view now? This is sort of leading straight from your thoughts on the first version, the original.
Yeah, can do. I mean, having the new version is always going to be a little dangerous.
Mm.
Mostly because I'm not really one to embrace change easily. Essentially being, you know, a grumpy old man stuck in his ways. Accepting new things is never easy. So accepting a new version of a favorite old song, it's you know, it's
challenging,
dangerous ground.
Mm.
So I didn't really want to have any preconceived judgments when I knew this was coming out, but it was I was wary nevertheless.
Mm.
Okay, leaping straight in then, I think the intro has got a marked difference from the original, because the original Comb Lies, it's gentle. I would say jangly. It's
like a piano, is it? Do. It's got
back
that kind of, yeah.
But the new XX version, it's ghostly. It's a bit more spooky, I find. There's perhaps some hidden layers of sound in there that are not obvious. Whereas I say jangly, it's a bit plinky plonky on the original, but this is
plonky. That's better than jangly.
but this has definitely got this sort of ghostly vibe to it, a bit more haunting. And then it batters in with the drum barrage.
Mm.
And there's a very much more dramatic contrast at that point. So you got spooky, spooky, wham, which wasn't on the original. So I actually like that. I think that is a vast improvement.
Okay.
It creates a lot more depth.
Mm.
Which I think can be said about the whole XX album, really. I'm sure this has come up in conversation before, where they're saying that atmosphere and depth seem to be two key words associated with a lot of the revamping that was done on that. And if nothing else, I think that intro personifies that atmosphere and depth. That is the key difference there. So beyond that, when Andy comes in with the, whether it's I or hey, 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 I'm not sure what it's, it's the chanting.
We always assume it's hey, 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 but I'll come on to that in a minute. But anyway, yeah.
Which is great. And I think you've mentioned it before where you said it was put in because it's almost reflective of the audience. It's a nod to the crowd. It's a nod to us who...
Yeah.
You know, when they play it live, that's what they get back. So they will, why not include that? We'll have some of that chanting in there to boost it. But is it enough on the recorded version? It seems quite subtle and hidden to me. I don't know whether I would actually prefer it a lot more in your face. Like either do it or don't.
Mm.
But it seems to be a casual nod to it rather than come on, we'll go full force. Hey, 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 join it in. So you're singing along on the recorded version as well as the live version when you say it. So it's almost a cop out.
Okay.
I don't know whether that's a little bit harsh, but I'm going to be brutal.
Be honest about it, mate. It's fine, no problem. We're not the Comb Lies police, so it's all cool. Well, I'm not. Mike might be. I don't know.
And his vocals generally. This is my second and biggest gripe.
Yep.
I find forced.
Okay.
On the original, the new version, I don't dispute that it's a lot more powerful and there's a lot more impact. But on the original, that melody of Andy's vocals, I really like. And I understand that this is his preferred style now. It's generally better, it's more impactful on their new style. But on this particular song, it seems out of place to me. It seems forced. So this is what Andy does now. This is his style. So we'll use it in every song. Mm. Here, I think it's misplaced.
Okay.
And I honestly prefer the old melody.
That feels like a really good question to Andy at some stage in the future as to, you know, if we look at Daylight Dancer as a song, what is his preferred vocal line? Is it the clean vocals for the original? Because I really love his clean vocals in Daylight Dancer, the original. And you know, the growl vocals in this one, I think they're probably the heaviest growl vocals he's done. I can't think of anything heavy. It's really, really growly. And I'm kind of half in agreement with you in there. I feel like I would have liked a bit more clean vocals from him on this, just to sort of get a bit more balance there. I like the growl vocals. I think it does have an impact, but I can see what you're saying. I think it would be a good conversation opener at some stage.
For me as well, personally, because it's one of the favourite songs, the hook there, the desolation, grief and agony.
That was
a really big hook.
Yeah.
And it's disappeared now.
It's very growly, isn't it? Yeah. Okay.
Actually, you say about the melody line, of course, on the second half of that verse, when they bring in Christina's voice over the top.
What, trying to move in this grave?
They drape her melody over the top of the growls.
Yeah.
And that's something else I think is almost it's a semi-skimmed version of a song, isn't it? Either do it or don't.
Mm.
So are you going to go for melody or are you going to go for the harsh growls?
Okay.
So they started off and then said, well, actually, perhaps we'll change our mind a little bit and give a little bit of melody. And ordinarily, I wouldn't complain. But I think, again, it's misplaced.
Okay.
Melody, I think, would, on the original, is definitely the preferred route. So I've got nothing against Andy's vocal style, but not here. When the actual hook, the actual melody line of the chorus, like the whole point of the song, the take another chance to find a distant sanity.
Mm.
My brain just went, it was trying desperately to cope by singing the old version over the new version. I obviously couldn't, and it was going nowhere. It's going round as a, hang on a minute, this does not compute. What on earth is going on here?
Was that just on this song when you first heard it, or was it on other songs?
Yes.
No,
the other songs, not so much on the album. It seemed to fit this one, and I don't know whether it's just because it's me and my connection with it.
Probably couldn't it?
It's so ingrained in my head. I'm like automatic pilot when things start. So my brain's running through one song, but my ears are taking in a completely different song. And there's this big explosion in the middle where they're colliding and a complete disorientation.
Is that a nosebleed and crazy eyes?
That's it.
And, yeah. Taking in too many G's.
So that took a long time to kind of settle down. A lot of listens to get my head around this, the fact that they've essentially changed the song. A lot of the other XX songs, there were upgrades. And although this is an upgrade in some respects, I think it's the most dramatic change because of that hook.
Okay.
That actual melody line. It's a completely different section.
Yeah, really interesting. Okay.
I would say that overall it was the sound is perhaps more depressing than the original.
Mm.
And that's possibly just because of the, I'm going to go back to this jangly word because I do like that.
I love it. Yeah, you use jangly as much as you want, mate.
The original Daylight Dance was a bit jingly jangly. This one is a lot more doom and gloom in contrast.
Mm.
So it just changed perspective. It changes how I listen to it, how I hear it. But that's something else that's kind of developed the more I've listened to it and the more I've accepted it as a new song.
Which sounds like a journey in itself that you've had to come
Absolutely.
Accepted it. It's not something that's, it wasn't like, oh my God, I'm immediately in love with this. This is a complete upgrade and a change. This is something that's clearly been a journey for you, which I think is fascinating. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. I mean, it is that. It's not a, I suppose it's a shock horror initially because of the change. But it's not a, I hate this because I love the original. And it's not, I love this because it's so much better than the original. It's a, what's going on?
Yeah.
I need to give this time. But that the sort of depressed sound isn't actually all depression when you give it time and you listen to it. And especially the one section where Cree is basically saying, take another chance to find a distant sanity. That previously was kind of happy on the original version because of the melody line. But on the new version, the take another chance on the surface sounds depressing. But when you actually listen to it properly, and repeatedly, and accept it, as I had to.
You didn't have to accept it. You know that, right?
Oh, no, I did. I accept whether I like it or not.
All right, okay, fair enough.
I had to accept it.
You have to accept it. Gotcha, okay.
So once I've accepted that take another chance, it actually sounds hopeful now. It's like she's like grabbing you by the shoulders and saying, you know, come on, you can do it. Take another chance. So it isn't doom and gloom. It's actually hope. That was kind of a tipping point for me when I took that on board. And that whole new melody line that built around those words worked so much better.
Gotcha.
So whereas before, I liked the original because it was cheery, it was uplifting, it was anthemic. Hearing the XX version brought it down to a doom and gloom. But now I've understood in my way those lyrics, it's now hope instead. So I actually love that new melody line. I can take either or, and they're both brilliant.
That's a really fascinating reflection, Dave. Thank you for that. And I think that your journey from shock horror to acceptance is a really, it's as interesting as the changes in the song itself, I would say. Do you listen to both?
Wow, there's a question. Can I leap forward to the very end where I expect you to ask which version I prefer?
Yeah, sure. Go on then. I was kind of worried.
That kind of answers both questions.
Go on then. Yeah. Which one do you prefer?
Exactly. Neither.
Fair enough. Both. No. Yeah, okay. Fascinating.
In summary, what I was going to say was, in summary, I would probably state my favourite as being whichever one I'm listening to at the time.
Yep.
So there is no...
That's not a cop-out answer, by the way. I think that's a really good answer. Go on.
So that kind of encapsulates everything there. So I play both, and I like both, depending on which one I'm listening to at the time. But I would say, if you caught me humming a version in my head to myself, it would be the original. But gotcha. That's probably just down to the amount of times I've done it.
It's longevity.
So it's ingrained more.
That's 20 years versus two, right?
Yes.
Yeah, no.
So ask me in another 18 years, and I could be humming the other.
The second one's never going to catch up, is it? So if you're that just means the older one's got another 18 years. So. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. I'm sure there's much more we could say on this. And I think that some of the things that you called out there is some of the things that I think we saw, especially, you know, 18 months ago when the new album came out, lots of, you know, this is different. I don't like it. This is different. It's going to take me a lot of time to get used to. And there was lots of it was like people were saying, I think, might be wrong here, people were saying, but because Lacuna Coil brought out Comalize XX, they had, to use a current term, cancelled Comalize. And that was never their intent. certainly from speaking to them, I'm sure you've had the same conversations or similar. It was never their intent to cancel Commonize. It was to do something different and celebrate it as an album. And I've always said, and I say it today as I did when it came out, the two versions are allowed and it's desirable for them to sit side by side and for people to pick a preference. And if that preference is the one that I'm listening to currently, which is exactly my view, by the way, then that's almost the perfect solution, isn't it? You've got two different versions that you can choose, and it could be down to your current mood. It could be whatever it might be. You can go, right, today I feel like listening to Daylight Dancer XX, but tomorrow I'm going to feel like listening to Daylight Dancer. And you're not betraying either. You're not married to either of them. So by listening to the other, you're not betraying them. You're not cheating on them. It's just a different version. And I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, which one's your wife and which one's your mistress?
Well, exactly. Yeah, I wasn't going to go down that direction. But yeah, maybe we should use that as a question in our reviews. What's your wife and what's your mistress? Yeah, yeah. What's that?
Actually, I've got a question though.
Kiss, marry, or avoid. What isn't that program that does that?
Yeah. Oh no. my question though, which version are they likely to play live? Because at the moment, if they do a live version, it's going to be the XX version, I would assume, because it's current. They're still essentially promoting that album. But would they ever go back to playing the original version live?
I think for a very long time, they didn't actually play the original version live. No, part of my reflections on this is that if you take the original album version and you take the version on, well, the XX version, there is this transitional state between those two songs, which was many years of live shows. Because we would see over time Andy's vocals becoming more growling, right? You know, he would absolutely growl out those first verses. Not to the same level as he does on Comalize XX. That's just the next step up. But you would absolutely, when he got that desolation, grief, and agony, he would be growling when he was doing it live, right? You would then get, and this is why I do think that there's the Hey, Hey, Hey is definitely an homage or a reflection of what happened live show. For as long as I can remember, there will be those of us. It wasn't everybody. It was definitely a subset of the audience that when we got that gap, we would be going, hey, hey, hey. We had fists in the air. We were absolutely doing that to the beat. And I feel like XX takes all of those elements and then adds a few more twists in how the vocal lines operate and how they've layered the vocals. But I can't remember the last time I heard the album version, the original version of Daylight Dancer live at a Lacuna Call show. I honestly
can't. It's years.
Pre-Karmaco tour,
I would think.
Yeah, but even then it was starting to, because they always twist things up slightly, and I feel in that respect that it became a kind of an evolution. Mike, I mean, I don't know how any of us can follow on that review, Dave, by the way, because it felt very close, you know, very heartfelt, and you're talking a lot about your own journey on that song. Mike, reflecting on Daylight Dancer XX, what are your thoughts on the song?
I in some ways think the opposite to what Dave is saying.
That's cool. We are a diverse and inclusive podcast, so that's cool. Yeah.
For me, the hey, 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 or the oi, oi, oi 16 times at the start makes it already, for me, like an anthem. Like we're saying, it's the third child. It's bringing it to the forefront to make it as big as the other two tracks on XX.
Right.
Obviously, we've got the drumming that's a lot heavier. The guitars are subtle in the background, but you've still got the angelic keyboard or whatever sounds they use in the background, which links it for me back to the past. The chorus that she sings, Christina, is sung a lot higher and with more oomph and more emotive going through the song. And I think it works, especially in the second verse, where they're both singing together. Christina's vocals are higher in this version. So as it's layered better for me.
When you say lot higher, do you mean higher up in the vocal line, or she's singing?
Yeah, yeah, the vocal line is much higher. But I think that obviously in the second verse where they're both singing, hers has been brought up more volume wise compared to Andy, if you compare it to the original.
Do you think that's because then, he's doing more growling in this? He's not singing this.
I think at the same time you can't compare the two. As much as you want to compare the two, it's, to me, it's a completely different song now. The instrumental, obviously, it's got the more gothic sounds and the heavier drums, which I think is a nod to the original to link it to it. Mm. But all in all, I think as much as it is not an upgrade, it's something standalone that, whilst there's the nod to the original, I personally can't compare the two.
Oh, interesting. Because they are very really different. I mean,
they're different songs completely. And I got to hear the live debut in Harrisburg, I think it was. And the Hey, 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 or Oi, 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 whichever, that is at the forefront of everything to get everyone going.
Mm-hmm. But it always was. Where it felt like it should have been with the original.
I think now, personally, I think, like we've compared in the past, live versus album, this is top-notch to me album-wise, but it works even better in the live setting, okay. And I hope that it stays.
Yeah, okay, interesting. So, which one do you listen to?
I listen to this. I very rarely listen to Comb Lies now. I do on occasion, but I think that...
Is that the whole album, or specifically Daylight Dancer?
Yeah, the whole album. I mean, I listen to it, but not as much as XX. I think that is something for the past. This is for the future, and you can switch between the two, but I prefer what they've done with this.
So you prefer this one?
Yeah. I'd say this is a much better evolvement of the song from the original.
I love it. So very different, two very different views. Don't worry, guys, we're still friends. It's all fine.
We'll
grab a beer. Well, I'm not.
There'll be no fights over Daylight Dancer. Really interesting to hear those quite different views. I think I somewhat far more boringly sit somewhere in the middle between the two of you. I'm trying to remember what I felt when I first heard this song. When I say this song, I mean this version of the song. I remember going, yeah, this is damn cool. I really liked it the first time I heard it. Probably more than I liked the original Daylight Dancer. So Daylight Dancer is a song that grew on me. Daylight Dancer XX was a song that existed, and it didn't have to grow on me. I loved it from the outset. I just sort of my own reflections on the opening and the jangly bit versus the distorted bit. I don't have a preference over those two. I really like that bit you said earlier, Dave, when you said, you know, my favourite one is the one I'm listening to at the time. And I think that's actually really strongly how I feel. I really like the distorted vocals and that, as you said, that ghostliness to it. But there is something really comforting about those original do that bars that come out. Now, whether it's because it reminds me of being a Lacuna Core show and being at the end of a Lacuna Core show where my endorphins are really high and I'm loving the experience. And it's that kind of, oh no, it's going to end, but at least I've got this song that's going to kind of give me that final punch, that final hit before I have to cue to leave, right? That was always a real highlight for me, hearing those bars of that song. It was really like giving a musical hug. And I think the distorted ones is edgier and it's harder and it's as you say, it's got that depth and so forth, but it's not better. It's just different. And there's still that musical hug that I get from the jangly version of it. I do like Andy's vocals, but I do agree with you. The original clean vocal line from him was a really nice intro to the song. This is good. That is good. Again, they're not different. You talked to Mike about Christina's being her vocals being higher. That bit where she comes in And I'm not talking about the pre-chorus. I'm talking about where she says trying to move down in this grave. It's actually she uses her low voice there, doesn't it? Quite low. It's like right, and it's lower here than it is in the original. Mm. I don't think she doesn't push her vocals deeper into it. And I don't know which I like better. And I think I'm probably feeling that way about the whole song. Actually, I don't know which I like better. There are definitely things I like better about this one. More, you know, individual elements that I prefer in XX, and there are individual elements that I prefer in the original. But I don't think there's any desire to create a Frankenstein's monster and put those elements together and create my own kind of really horrific version of these two. Because firstly, I don't have the skills to do that. And secondly, it would be a waste of time because I think I'd lose what I like about them because they clearly operate as separate entire songs. I like the way that the song builds. It does feel different. I've not examined it close enough to know whether the structure is really different. It feels different, especially towards the end. And I like the different structure. I do feel more like this is a song that celebrates more so than many other versions on the Comalize XS. This seems to celebrate the evolution of Daylight Dancer as a song. Going back to what I said earlier about, as we've seen it live over the years, we've seen heavier vocals from Andrea. We've seen a slightly more twisted, distorted intro. And that just builds on that. We've seen slight variations in the vocal line from Christina, to my knowledge. And we've certainly seen the crowd participation and now be formally included in the song. I really like it. I really like it. But what it doesn't do for me is it doesn't replace Daylight Dancer. Because I, over the last day or so, I've been reflecting strongly on both of these songs so we could have this conversation. And I've been listening to them both. And I really like listening to them side by side, actually. Just sort of bouncing back and forth between the two. And you kind of go, wow, this is it's not technically the same song, but it is the same song. But it's two versions of the same song. And I really like that. And I absolutely push back about it from anybody that says one or the other of these songs has no right to exist or is no longer relevant. They're both really relevant songs. And your statement, Dave, about my favourite one is the one I'm listening to at the point in time, I think is totally true. Totally true. It certainly feels that way for me. What they'll play live, the logic tells me that they'll play XX live because essentially it is the evolution of, as far as they're concerned musically, of the original song, as we've seen through different shows and Andy getting more growly and the bass becoming more distorted and there'd be more layers to the music, and of course the inclusion of the audience participation part. I think that's what we've been seeing for a long time. Yeah, what do I hum in my head, kind of like back to your the question you asked me to ask you, Dave? I don't honestly know the answer to that question. I still do the jangly bit because that's in my DNA now, right? Totally in my DNA. I think there are parts of the vocals, the chorus that I do from XX, especially in Cree's part. You know, when she says, oh, want to stay another way.
You just reminded me that want to stay another way.
Yep.
I've got a problem with that.
Okay, go on in.
The actual lyrics, the words, because from year dot, I've always sung, won't you stay another way? Okay, but on where it's printed, or looking up the lyrics, it's want to stay another way.
Yeah.
I had to clear this up. So I'll ask Cree direct and say, what the hell are the actual lyrics? Because I swear it's won't you. On all the recorded versions, that's what it sounds like, which is what I've picked up on, is what I've sung, and it's just stuck there now. And no, she clarified it, so it's neither.
What is it?
Well, officially it's want to, as it's printed in the lyric booklet.
Want to stay another way, yeah.
But she sings want you, so it's an amalgamation of the two, but I think that's just down to pronunciation.
That's like won't you stay another way.
Yeah, want you.
That's almost like a contraction, is it? I want you, yeah. Won't you stay another way.
It's a mishmash of everything, really.
So again, it's like this song is like a biological entity that's constantly evolving, isn't it? It just there's no single. I don't think there's any one single version of Daylight Dancer. I think this conversation has allowed me to conclude that it's just a constantly evolving thing. And even the artists that recorded it evolve it and change it over time. So whether we'll ever hear the actual original version of Daylight Dancer again, I doubt. Or whether we'll never hear the Daylight Dancer XX again, because it's constantly evolving into something else, something new, something different. Absolutely fascinating. And it's not the first time they've done that. I'm pretty sure that Andy changes the lyrics all the time on Zombies. I'm like, every time I try to sing, he's got to change something. I'm like, whoa, where'd that one come from? Anyway, I'm sure we could be here talking all day about Daylight Dancer. So, Dave, you gave Daylight Dancer, I think you said a 10 out of 10, right? Because it was a really impactful song. If you had to put a number on it, what would you give XX?
Out of 10, I'd give it a green.
Okay. All right. Okay. Green's good.
Because you just can't, you can't put a number on it compared to the other one. And I would have to give it a score out of 10 on a standalone value if I'd never heard the original. But because I've heard the original, going to be a comparison. Yeah. So I've got to cop out. I honestly can't score it because it's only going to be comparative.
I mean, it is a total cop-out, but if you're going to give it anything, giving it a green feels like a good thing. So, Mike, what would you give it out of 10?
I'd give it a 10, because as much as there is the original, I don't think you should do a comparison as much. And I think that it's amazing as a song and works even better live. And I hope that it's a staple part of the set list for many years to come.
All right. And I'm going to give it a same. That is to say, I'm giving it the same number as I gave the original. Because it is the same as the original, but different. Mm. That is to say, I love it as much as I love the original. So I'm going to give it, a hedgehog out of 10. I don't know where I got that from. I just plucked that from my head. But it is a song, and it was always for me a favourite on Comb Elias, the original, because it felt quite different. Because it had that comfort feeling, and because of how it made me feel like I was still at the concert. This does that, possibly more so, but it doesn't have the jangly bits, and it doesn't have the clean vocals from Andy. And I don't know, if it had the jangly opening and a bit more clean vocals, but the other stuff, I think at that point I might go, actually, XX is the better version for me on a really personal level. I don't know. We'll never know, because I'm not going to go away and try to mix that up, and I'm sure no one else is either. But it is... It's a great, great song, any which way you look at it. I love the way they've evolved this song. It feels like a natural evolution. And I think as we review some more of the songs on the album, we might have more to say about how they've chosen to evolve these songs, right? But there we go. So we've got a green, we've got a 10, and we've got a hedgehog. That's our official ratings for Daylight Dancer XX. All right, guys, that review took far longer than I was expecting it to, which is a great thing. It was a really enjoyable conversation about Daylight Dancer, and it was really good to offer up our own reflections on how the three of us differently see this song, this new iteration, this evolution of that classic Comb Elias song, Daylight Dancer. Absolutely fascinating conversation. Thank you so much. I think we're at the end of this episode of the Empty Spiral podcast. I've no idea how long we've been talking, but it's been absolutely insightful and totally enjoyable. And I really hope that we get to do it again very, very soon. We will get to do it again very, very soon. I promise you, and I promise all those people that still remember who we are or remember that this podcast exists. So, I hope that those people who are even new to the podcast, who have kind of forgotten, have a chance to go back and listen to the other stuff. I will link episode 40 in the show notes of this so that people can go back and listen to the original, our review of the original version of Daylight Dancer. I will remind people that the Empty Spiral website, EmptySpiral.net, is where you'll find direct links to the podcast. You'll also find the podcast on a variety of streaming services. I think we're including Spotify now. So if you've chosen to use Spotify as your podcast streaming service of choice, you'll find us on there. But of course, we're on Apple Podcasts as well. Also, remind folks that the Empty Spiral Discord community is where we can talk about this stuff. If anybody's got some opinions or if they want to be on there, whatever, that's probably the best place to go. So head over to Empty Spiral and you can click on the Discord link and join the community there, and we can talk about, well, this episode and anything else to do with Lacuna Core for that matter. But until then, I want to thank my co-host once again. So Dave, Mike, thank you so much for taking your time out today to catch up, talk about Lacuna Coil, share a few very, very, I feel, quite personal reflections on these songs, because, you know, music is personal. It's hugely subjective, and we shouldn't take for granted the value and the importance of sharing our views and kind of giving our personal reflections on these things. Very, 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 very insightful, and I really appreciate your time. For everybody else, we'll leave you now to reflect on Daylight Dancer XX. I hope you really reach a positive conclusion. But until next time, which won't be that far, I promise you, it won't be that far into the future. You will not be having more children and sending them through college before we return to the airways. I want to thank you again and ask you to all listen to more Lacuna Coil.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye-bye.